Domati. This is John Williams. How are you, Dominator?
I'm good. How you doing over there?
Buddy, I am in parking lot K at the United Center. We are at this sports training festival that the Blackhawks hold in September. It was a zoo last year. It is zooier this year. There are many thousands of people lining up down Adams and Damon. They are standing in line to get in here, and then they will stand in more lines to buy things and do things, and they love it. They're wearing their Blackhawks jerseys and sweaters and T-shirts. It's kind of warm here in the parking lot. They don't care. They're wearing long-sleeve, bright red, dark red jerseys because that's what you do when you're a Blackhawks fan and you get stoked for the next season. They will, for the first time now this season, see some of these guys skate. So they're very excited about that. I mean, if there is a more knowledgeable sports fan base in Chicago than Blackhawks fans, I do not know what it is. And we've been affiliated with pretty much all of them here at WGN.
No fans like Hawks fans. I'm telling
you. Oh, my God. And I know that. And then every year I come to this thing and I go, I still shake my head at how much these people love this team. Stan Bowman is sitting next to me. Jay Blunk is sitting next to me. Our broadcast is live from Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. It is sponsored by Mathnasium, changing lives through math. They've got a tent here. Come on by, tell them what 2 plus 2 is, and they'll talk to you about how math is important and how you and your kids can be better at it. Stan, welcome to the broadcast. Nice to see you.
Good to be here, John.
You look great. You're wearing, as Blackhawks management team members do, a suit and tie. Jay is as well. Hi, Jay. Nice to see
you. John, great to see you. Good morning.
Okay, talk about this thing. What the hell's going on here, Jay?
Well, you know, John, and we were just talking off the air, we're so fortunate. This is the first day of practice for the Blackhawks, right? So years ago, we thought, well, let's open the doors and see what happens. The next thing you know, we've got 20,000 people. We sell 20,000 tickets. People are excited.
How many years have you been doing this?
What's that?
How many years have we been doing this?
This is our 10th year.
10th.
And but what's great is we're in the parking lot now. It's like a street festival out here. And this really lights the rocket for our season. Jim Cornelison will be singing in a second. And I love the new players on the team. They come in and say, wait a minute, this is the first day of practice and there's 20,000 people here? What's going on? So it's a lot of fun. And I do think, we talked earlier, there's a special connection between this particular team and the city of Chicago.
Do you feel that too?
Oh, absolutely. It's always interesting to talk to the new players who've played other cities, but they come to Chicago for this festival, and their reaction is they can't believe it. This is their first glimpse of what it's going to be like to play in front of the fans.
They're going to skate out on the ice to a packed, roaring house for a practice session.
That doesn't happen anywhere else in the league. I'm positive of that. Usually the first day is nobody watching, and you're just trying to get through it and get up to speed. This gives these guys a lot of energy and a lot of excitement.
Where are the eyeballs going to be? So we're all going to be looking at what numbers or what players on the ice today.
Well, I think, we're looking for our top guys to be the top guys. And, we're talking Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith for sure. You know, those guys have been here. Those are names that everybody knows. And they're always fun to watch because they've sort of helped build what we have here. But we have a number of young faces as well that are coming into the mix. And, you know, there's opportunity for, in particular, we have a couple defensemen that are injured. So we've got some spots open there, and we're hoping for a guy we drafted when we had the draft here in Chicago just 1 year ago. We drafted a young guy named Henry Yokoharu. So this is Henry's chance to come and show that he belongs on the team.
Coach is in the paper today, as young as he is, there may be some real opportunity for him here this season. You feel that way?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, he's got a lot of talent. He's had a great season last year. He's one of the most dominant players in his league. And now it's time to step up to the NHL.
What's the transition like?
The biggest thing is just the strength of the players. You know, he was playing in a junior league last year that was 17 to 20-year-olds. You come here, you're playing against men, and you're playing against the best of the best. So it's probably the pace of the game and also the strength of the players is something that is not easy. But Henry trained really hard this year. I was impressed with the way he came into camp. He looks like he's matured to make a push for the team.
Corey's skating. Are we going to see him out there today?
No, not today. But he did have a good day yesterday on the ice, and as he spoke. He's come a long way in the, you know, in the last 9 months, and things are definitely looking up for him.
Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, one of them is quoted, though, today, is also saying this team can't count on Corey Crawford this year. Hope he comes back. What a great goalie he is. We need to be able to make the playoffs and have a serious run without him. Do you feel that way, too?
Well, I think what Jonathan was trying to convey was that this is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. So as much as you need a great goalie, and we relied on Corey probably too much last year, I think we got to try to build around that and not focus on one player that's not ready right now. And we got to work with the guys that are here.
But it's going to be a very similar team to last year, right?
Yeah, but there's always probably 5-6 new players every year. So that's, you know, you look at a team of 20, you're looking at a quarter of your team is going to be new. So
okay, well, that's because here's what I'm asking both of you guys. I mean, so do we have some game changers here? Do we have a couple of guys that say if Crawford's not in the net, will not only get us to the playoffs, but make us more serious teams this year?
Well, in starting in net, we have Cam Ward coming in. Cam's been, he's only been in Carolina his whole career. He's been a great, he won a Stanley Cup there with them. And, you know, he's got a long pedigree as a number one goalie. So he gives us some confidence that we have an experienced goaltender to help out. We have some other veterans coming in. Chris Kunitz, who won several Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh most recently. And I think, you know, so we have some experienced guys coming in. We have some young players pushing to take bigger roles. We were looking for Alex DeBrincat to have build on his great rookie year, the 28 goals his first year. And, you know, hopefully he can match that and go into the 30s this year. So there's a lot of things there that we're looking for progress from within, and we're looking for these new guys to bring what they can to the table.
Where are you on all of this, Jay? I mean, if you could change the team some way, is it more defense? Is it better goaltending? Is it more offense? What would you as a fan like to see the Blackhawks do more of this year?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question. I think we're all asking that. But I think one of the things I like to see from a business standpoint, right, from a marketing standpoint, from a brand standpoint, I love the speed and skill of the team, you know, Stan has put together, because that's kind of been our mantra, right? We're faster. We're more skilled. We've got some of the best players in the world. They're Hall of Famers. They're core guys. They're still young. They're still hungry. And if you talk to them, you know, they're upset about last year. You know, they're really angry. And I think you'll see some. They train a little bit differently this year. But the speed and the skill, if you're introducing this sport to a wide audience, like in Chicago, broad base, I think that you can find a lot to like from an entertainment standpoint if you watch this team.
Well, Toews and Kane were young once. I mean,
they were.
I remember the meeting. You talk about the size and the skill of the players. The size of the players. I've told this story before, but the first time WGN Radio got the Blackhawks that year was when Toews and Kane came to the team.
Yeah.
So you guys all came to our radio station in the conference room. And so there's a bunch of Blackhawks guys. You were there, and John was there. Patrick was there. Jonathan was there. You weren't. But it was interesting because I came up to Jonathan Toews. No, Kane. I came up to Patrick Kane. And I said, could you get me a soda? Because he looked like a baby. And he wasn't 6'4", 230. You know, he looked like one of your interns.
Well, he
and they go, no, he's getting millions of dollars and he's the future of the franchise. I went, oh, really? The point of all of that is that, A, it's fun to tell, but, B, that those guys were young and they were good. And look where we are today. You know, hopefully youth is not a compromise. In fact, that's what you build on. And we've got those guys.
But I'm telling you something, he would still get you that soda. And that's the kind of guy he is. And
but he'd be very quick about it.
I think that's what the connection is with, and then we talked about this, in a Midwestern city, hardworking, honest city like Chicago in the Midwest, this team is still, they're still the same guys they were 10 years ago. And that's remarkable, right, given what they've been through. You know, and now they're teaching that to the younger guys. I mean, Alex DeBrincat, whose bobblehead we're giving out today, had as many goals as Patrick Kane last year. And Kaner's one of the best players in the world. So there's a lot of, and he's only 20 years old.
I had him at 19. Oh, no, that's,
Yeah, so
Henry is 19.
Yeah,
so you know what you've said is what you've explained. This, to me, this remarkable explosion of Blackhawks hockey over the last decade goes back to the players. I give them full credit because they're willing to go out into the community. They feel that the United Center has something to do with them winning. So there's a real connection between the fans and the players. It's real.
Yeah. You guys feel that on the ice? I mean, you must hear the You must hear that crowd, right?
Oh, you can't miss it. I mean, it starts with the national anthem. That sort of sets the tone.
No, it doesn't start with the national anthem. Pardon me, Stan. It starts with the video before the national anthem. We have the best national anthem singer. We have the best players. We have, you know, the best fan base. We even have the best video before the national anthem, my view.
No, you're right. I mean, that does set the tone for the way we want to come out as a team and really just overwhelm the opponent. So I think there's an intimidation factor there, and we want to make this a place that other teams are afraid to come in and play, and that starts, you know, with getting off to a good start this season and to get, you know, the pride back at being a tough place in the United Center to play.
And I think it needs to be said before we go, WGN Radio has been a huge part of the evolution of the Blackhawks. You, Steve, and on and on and on.
John Weideman behind the microphone.
Well, yeah, that we've got a great broadcast crew. But
yep.
You know what? You've taken this to a Midwestern group, and thank you for that. And everything, our partners at WGN Radio are really family.
Well, guys like Cochran were hockey fans all along. Guys like me weren't. So I was new to the game 10 years ago.
Yeah, so, Roe and you know, leading into our games at night. We've got a lot here, but thank you for everything you've
really
done.
It's really been fun.
We've been friends for a long time.
Well, it's nice to see you, Jay. And Stan, I know you're busy. You've given us a lot of your time. By the way, is there a slogan or a logo for the team this year? Do you guys do that every year, have a new marketing term or something?
Well, you know, I think you'll see that opening night. We've got a few things that we're working on, and I wouldn't say it's anything drastic. We've got such a great logo. Great, you know, one goal
is
always
logo,
been
a, right, so one goal is still the marketing phrase.
Yeah,
we've
got a few surprises, but I think we don't want to get too far away from one goal. It means a lot to the city of Chicago and our fan base.
Jay, Stan, good luck.
Thanks, John.
What a
thanks,
pleasure.
John.
Nice
thanks so
to
much.
See you guys. Okay, it's 10:21. Yeah, thank you. How about a round of applause for these guys? John Williams at the Training Camp Festival. We are in Lot K at the United Center. This is WGN. Today's broadcast is live from Blackhawks Training Camp Fest. It's sponsored by Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Hey, we're live on WGN Radio. Let's hear it. Now, is that for me or is that for the bobbleheads? Joe Brand is standing over here. Hey,
hey
Joey.
John. Hey, we got quite a line. I think some people don't even know what we're giving out, and they just wanted to get in line.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I was standing talking to some people in line over there, and I said, what are we in line for? And the lady goes, I don't know. But we're standing in line.
Training Camp Festival, free
there's,
stuff. You got to get in.
There's always something good at the end of the lines, like food, beverage, music, T-shirts, bobbleheads. You know, they're going to start skating in about an hour and a half, and these folks, 20,000 strong, are here to watch the first skate by the Blackhawks this season. Blackhawks fans are amazing. So we're giving away the Jonathan Toews fist bump bobbleheads to whom? Let's talk to this lady right here. Hi,
okay,
what's your name?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, who is your favorite Chicago Blackhawks player?
Jonathan Toews.
Well, it just so happens to be this is Jonathan Toews. Now, where are you going to put this?
I don't know, my room.
In your room? Okay, well, here's your bobble helmet.
That's next to her bed. It's laying on the pillow next to her, fist bumping her at night.
You know,
hello,
what?
What's your name? Who's next there?
Hi, my name is Megan.
Megan, who is your favorite Blackhawks player?
I love Toews, but I also like Seabrook.
Also like Seabrook. Well, we don't have any Seabrook bobble fists, but I guess you could have a Jonathan Toews one.
Thank you so much.
I guess
they
could cross out the name and put Seabrook on there if they want to, but that's... Seabs just doesn't work. No, these are the Toews fist bumpers. These are very nice. Who else are you talking to?
Who else? Who do we have here?
My name is Bryce Denny.
You look like a hockey player. Do you play hockey?
Yes, I play for the Naperville Sabres.
Okay, how are they?
They're pretty good. We're just starting off with the new season. It's pretty good.
What position do you play?
I usually switch around between everything, but I like to play either defense or center.
This guy answers like a hockey player, too. Jeez.
Short,
I don't even need to ask him any more questions. He's
you
got
know,
it.
He does look a little...
Thank you.
He does look like trouble, this one. This kid, you go, you're a hockey player. You're absolutely right. Looks like, in a good way, hockey player. Hockey. It's the hair. Yeah. Who else you got there?
Hi.
What's can this
name?
Little guy talk?
Yeah. What's your name?
I'm
Chase Royer.
Chase Royer?
With the little
and
King
he's a pretty young
on.
Hockey fan, huh?
He sure is, but he loves... And he loves Toews, right? Thumbs up.
All right, well, here you go. Here's your fist bobblehead.
We are giving them away. We're taking some pictures. We are.
Whoa, well, hold on. This kid was only cleaning up for us.
What's going on here? What's happening?
Did you see what this kid was doing, making a fort and cleaning up every box?
Yeah, he was this the young man that was doing that?
I think he definitely deserves a fist bobble. What's your name?
D'Angelo.
And do you typically enjoy spending your free time with cardboard, or is it just today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, you can tell you have not had kids. When you have kids and you give them gifts at Christmas time, and then they open up the toy, they play with the box first. They make forts, they cut it out, they throw it at their sister. Boxes can be fun, although we have these cases, these big cardboard boxes of the bobbleheads. The DeBrincat ones are the ones that people have been getting, but then we had some extra Jonathan Taves ones. We are down to about our last 10 or 15 of them. So to the 100 of you in line, we have 10 more. I'm afraid we've just given them all away. Griff just whispered in my ear, hey, you need to take a break anyway. It is 10:29. We are at the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival. We're in Lot K at the United Center. Normally, we do a regular show. You know, we're talking about a variety of things, but the focus is on the Blackhawks today. We'll chat about a few other things a little later on, and then we'll be back in the WGN Radio Downtown Studios next Saturday from 10 a.m. and 12 noon. We're getting ready for the news. Doma T. Pongo will have that next on WGN. Thank you, Doma T. Broadcasting live from Blackhawks Training Camp Festival, sponsored by Mathnasium, changing lives through math. This is John Williams in Lot K at the United Center, the south side of this joint that is packed with not only activities, but fans. 20,000 of them are going to go inside. They're streaming in now. I said a moment ago at noon, we're here till noon, but actually around 11 o'clock they start skating, I believe. Is that right, Joe? 11 a.m.?
That's what I was told.
By the way, also sitting with us is Chris Bowden. You hear his voice before and after Blackhawks games, before and after games, right?
That's right. Good to be with you.
Same assignments for you this year?
Yes, that's the case, too. So great to be out here in the great outdoors. What an outstanding event this is. But what about decade running? John and Jay working their magic with this idea to bring fans out here. And what's really cool is those 10,000 Alex DeBrincat bobbleheads, we saw like a mass exodus here out of the lot to get the bobbleheads, and then they let them back out here. So the activity's still going on pretty strong here for the for the time we have leading up till 11 o'clock when the action inside really starts.
If we were handing out gold ingots.
Yeah, John, do you have a bobblehead for me?
I'm now going to punch you in the nose. So what's the thing you're looking for the team this year? Both of you can answer this question.
The thing I'm looking for is mostly health and the core guys who had a little bit of a down year last year to bounce back. And I'm pretty confident that they're going to be able to do that because there's just too much on the so-called back of the bubblegum card with all they have accomplished in years past. I think last year was definitely an aberration for guys like Keith and Saad and Jonathan Taves. And they've had a long summer to think about it. They've had a long summer to work on it. And I'm pretty confident those guys are going to bounce back. The question is how much that's going to help. You know, you have several promising young players. You also kind of hope when you're at this stage of training camp, you have one of those surprises, unexpected surprises that jumps up and, you know, provides a meaningful role during the regular season. Almost every team tends to need that. Then the question becomes how that translates into the other teams you're going to be fighting out with for a playoff spot, because this is the toughest division in the NHL, the Central Division. A couple of other teams in the West that were already good have gotten better. And now this the investment in this roster as it is going to have to answer the bell for Joe Quenneville and company this year.
I'm just really excited to see Alex DeBrincat in his sophomore year. I mean, what a spark plug he was last season, despite this team missing the playoffs. He was the main attraction. It turned out to be him and Patrick Kane going toe to toe for goal scoring all year long. And
right.
You know, it's sometimes a sophomore slump for these guys, and I don't see Alex DeBrincat having that. But I really like to see how he's able to build off such a solid rookie campaign.
Yeah, and Joe Quenneville was a little shy at times, perhaps about exposing him to some of the better defensive matchups in the league last year. Oftentimes he was down in that third line, and he was very productive. Now that he has that pedigree of what he's done his rookie year, he's going to have a greater responsibility going up against tougher defensive matchups. But I think he can handle it. And obviously, he was the story of last year, as evidenced by the giveaway they're doing here today. And he seems primed and ready after working on his game even further in the offseason to have a continuation of what he was able to provide his rookie season last year.
It reminds me of guys that are first into the NBA or the NFL. They say, what's the difference? You were one of the greatest college guys or junior guys, but they say it's the size and the speed. The size and the speed. Mm-hmm. The game is just that much quicker. The players are that much bigger.
Right.
And I suppose that's the biggest adjustment for these guys. They've got the natural skills, but it's you have less time.
Yeah, and in some cases, it's the adjustment that some of the older players have to make. And that was kind of the theme heading into the offseason with the 2017-18 seasons that a couple of the guys that we mentioned earlier have. They have to now adjust their game. For so many years, it was the Blackhawks setting the bar with style and winning and accomplishment and the way they did that. Well, the game has kind of evolved now to more of what the Alex DeBrincats of the world provide, the Nick Schmaltzes of the world provide, and hopefully a couple other young players who can step up this season while those veteran players who have done so much for this organization are able to have bounce back campaigns.
And I feel like, you know, last year, that was one of the things that was so different from the Hawks in their heyday. Who's to say we're not in the heyday still, but there was such a good mesh of veterans and young talent, and when all that is able to intertwine, it makes a loose locker room, a loose dressing room, and a loose team out on the ice. And I think with some of the veteran presence that maybe was a little bit behind last year, that put more pressure on the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kind of puts the team in an awkward spot. So now, again, fresh set of minds. The other thing, Chris, I mean, how much more did this core play over the past 10 years because how many playoff games this team went through?
There's no question. It takes a grind on some bodies, and we've seen it with
That's a good point.
The
yeah.
Boston Bruins of the world. You know, they still made the playoffs, and hopefully last year was the aberration for the Blackhawks where they weren't able even to get in, but they won a Stanley Cup in 2011, and, they experienced some frustration with early eliminations in the playoffs. They found ways to restock their roster and some of the veteran guys to kind of recharge their battery. Same way with the Pittsburgh Penguins when they won, went to the finals in 2008, won it in 2009, and then had some early first, second round exits in the succeeding years as they battled some injuries and some aches and pains through those long playoff runs. They come back and win back-to-back Stanley Cups
right.
in 2016 and 17. And you know, hopefully that's kind of the blueprint the Blackhawks will follow this year.
Well, you
year.
Can't win the playoff. You can't win it all every year. Maybe you're not even in the finals every year.
No.
But it was embarrassing's not the right word, but it sure was surprising that
disheartening
didn't even make the playoffs last year, especially when they had, you remember the first game last year? I know this is silly.
Yeah, 10-2.
It was 10-2. I know we had 10. Did they have two? I thought we shut them out.
Against the defending champion, Pittsburgh Penguins, coming off a second straight
and
short
I was like,
summer.
Oh, my God, we're going to win all of our games
right,
this year.
Right, right.
We are the best team ever.
And
we just beat the defending champs by 8 goals.
And Patrick Kane, a couple of weeks ago, had something interesting to say. He was here for a charity game for Special Olympics at the beautiful new MB Ice Arena that the Blackhawks are holding training camp in, where they practice most of the time now. He was at a charity event the other day. Had first time we could speak to him. Well, we spoke to him at the convention, you know, about 6 weeks or so ago. But he said something interesting, and especially after those first two games, the Blackhawks have been so used to making the playoffs that perhaps they took for granted that, you know, even if they stumbled a little bit, they were going to be able to put their foot on the gas when they needed to.
That's so right. true.
And when they needed to, it just wasn't there. And Jonathan Toews and Patrick kind of, you know, doubled down on that yesterday after the first day of training camp, saying, we've had this long summer. We've hopefully made the adjustments in our bodies and in our game that's going to be needed. And we're also taking a different mindset that we've never quite had going into this training camp where we haven't tasted that success. And now there's a hunger and an urgency to, over these 3 weeks, get all the ducks in a row, get everyone set to go, and come out of the gate flying. They did that the first two games last year, but then it's a matter of maintaining that consistency because a fast start is going to be extremely important. Going to be a wild Western Conference.
There were so many conversations Coach Q had with Steve Cochran. He's on once a week. And all season long, there was sort of this back and forth about, when are we going to hit the gas? You know, okay, we're not the team we thought we'd be. We're not the team. But we're the Blackhawks, and we'll have that run, and then we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't hit that run. I guess the best bet would be don't put yourself in a position where you need that run.
Right.
Let's play more consistent hockey all season long. Joe, how much of that is dependent upon who's between the pipes?
It's a big factor, but I think, you know, Stan Bowman went out and had a great backup plan in getting Cam Ward. Here's a guy who's played between 600 and 700 NHL games. He's won a Stanley Cup as well, you know, primarily in a backup role the last couple of years, but has been really solid. And, you know, if need be, if Corey is not ready, after, you know, starting some on-ice activity yesterday, which was really good to see, and the way he was talking was really good to hear, about finally making some progress after what he admits now was a concussion and symptoms that linger. Cam Ward is a guy who should be able to carry that load until Corey is ready, but hopefully Corey's ready sooner rather than later. That means even greater depth in net.
And how much does that go to show to the Corey Crawford haters how important he is to this team?
I think they already know. They shouldn't have even existed in the first place, but I think they're already quite aware of that now.
I just really want to quickly go back to the figurative light switch that needed to be flipped on last season. I feel like that can be a catch-22 as well, because this game is a very mental game. It's not as much as baseball, not as much as maybe another sport, but it's a very mental game. So the more you try to push an issue, the more you're going to fail. And the fact is, they have that confidence that it was going to happen, and it never did. So, you know, maybe the secondhand aspect is, what are we doing? What do we need to force now? And you can't really do that.
It's what they've been used to for the past 10 years, being able to do that. And it just wasn't there. When you take a look at all the things that the Blackhawks faced in somewhat, you know, adjusting fashion, the Crawford injury, the Nicklas Hjalmarsson trade, the Marian Hossa skin condition. There's a lot of key factors that were taken away, and adjusting was something that they needed to do. They just weren't able to do it quickly enough, and with the competition that they have throughout this conference, it was a tough deal, and hopefully the lessons were learned as they head into the season.
You got to go, man. It's 10:50.
Yeah, we're live streaming the scrimmage coming up at 11 o'clock on ChicagoBlackhawks.com and the Chicago Blackhawks app, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm up there with Adam Burrish. So if you weren't able to make it out here, you're listening out there, we're going to have a live stream of it, all the action coming up inside this building here.
Have a good time.
All right, we'll do. Thanks for having me.
We'll be listening, too,
thanks, Chris.
And watching. All right, that's Chris Bowden, and you'll be able to hear him all season long before and after Blackhawks games on WGN Radio. I'm John Williams. The other voice you heard there, of course, Joe Brand, has made the trip from Lou Manfredini's Fix-It studio to Lot K at the United Center. We'll be back with more on WGN. One of our sponsors at WGN Radio is Chevy. The sales guy that handles that at this radio station is Kevin McDonough. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
All right. How are you, John?
You know his voice. Kevin is the guy who is our Queen of Hearts correspondent on the John Williams Show.
Yeah, I've become that. I love that role.
You are going to... Are you going to go to the one in McHenry?
I have until Tuesday at 7 o'clock to get up there, John, and I have your money in my pocket, so I kind of have to find time to get up there to get you in, don't I?
$6 million, baby. $6 million.
And they're going to poll until there's a winner, so...
If I win that, I don't have to win this truck. I could just buy one, but you are here with Chevy. What's the deal?
So WGN Radio and WGN TV partnered with your local Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com to give away a 2018 Chevy Silverado Centennial Edition.
It is beautiful.
We're celebrating, you know, Chevy is celebrating 100 years of the legend that is the Chevy Silverado, which, you know, as a sales guy, I got to tell you, John, we all know that's the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road.
Have you heard that before?
But this truck is Centennial Blue. They rolled out this beautiful color. You kind of just got, if you're looking at your radio, it's just to the left of us.
Yeah.
And you just got to come out and kind of see it, because it is something special. But you can come out and check it out.
Register to win it, too, at
ChevyDrivesChicago.com.
One of our other sponsors here is from Mathnasium. What is your name?
Hi, you guys. This is Michelle Martin, and I'm the owner of the Mathnasium in Bolingbrook.
Mathnasium is a what?
Mathnasium is a math-only learning center, so we help kids in grades 2 all the way up through grades 12 in math. So whether they're struggling, whether they're maintaining, or whether you want them to do really, really well and get ahead, we can suit kids at all levels.
So if I was taking basic arithmetic or calculus, you would be able to help me?
Yeah, a lot of our centers go all the way up through calculus, and we start all the way at the very beginning with numerical fluency, helping kids learn how to compose and decompose numbers so they can learn how to do math mentally and process it faster and quicker.
Is a potential candidate for your store then the person who wants to get an A in an advanced class, or somebody who's freaked out by numbers and they just can't even get into it?
You know what? That's the beauty about Mathnasium, is because we can meet kids wherever they are. So if your kid is struggling, we can help build them the confidence to get them ahead. And if you've got that kid who's just trying to get that A, we can help them too.
The most rewarding thing I ever did in college was tutor math. And when you see somebody connect on a problem, isn't that a wonderful thing?
It's amazing. I know in my center, we have these really big windows, right? These floor-to-ceiling windows. And we let the kids do math on the windows, right? So if we're helping a kid with a math problem, we'll put it out on the window. And it's amazing to see kids engaged and confident in their math skills.
So is there one Mathnasium outlet in Chicago?
No, there's 40 throughout Chicagoland. So check us out on www.mathnasium.com/Chicagoland.
Mathnasium.com/Chicagoland. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
What a wonderful day today. This is a great event.
Isn't this a beautiful day?
Absolutely.
Isn't this a crazy event? It's 10:58. All right, we're going to take a break now. We're going to go into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Domati Pongo is going to update you next. Domati, you remember a couple weeks ago we were coming up with nicknames for you, me, Griff, and Joe? I've got a new nickname for me.
What you got?
Strong Cat 2.
Strong Cat 2.
I like Fanatical Warrior better. Not going to lie.
Fanatical Warrior. I forgot about that one.
What was the nickname that you had for me?
Fanatical Warrior.
Fanatical Warrior, yeah.
Thanks to the Wu-Tang name generator.
Right. And then I had for you Dominator. I don't remember what we had for Joe Brand.
Something along the lines of Sporty McSportface, I believe.
Sporty McSportface was Joe Brand's.
It's better than mine. Mine was Joe the Brand. I just gave him the middle name, The.
Joe the Brand. Oh, I like that.
I'm
or
okay
generic
with that.
Brand. How about that? No, yeah. But that's a bad thing. I'm sorry. I'm just riffing here.
My username used to be Brand Flakes.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I love that.
I always wanted to name a daughter Raisin.
Raisin Brand. You know what?
That's all I got.
You should someday have kids just for the purpose of that. They go, what do you want to do? Well, I want to get married and have kids. Why do you want to do that? Because that's what people do. No, because I want to name another human Brand Flakes. Or Raisin Brand. Raisin Brand.
Just look at all the positives.
Go upside, upside, race. Upside.
Strong Cat 2. What is the origin, John?
That's what they have downgraded Florence to, the hurricane in North and South Carolina. It's now a Strong Cat 2. Category 2. So, you know, it was category 4, then 3, but and then it was like, it's like a wah-wah, now you're a 2. But they go, but no, Strong Cat 2.
Yeah.
So don't let that hurt your little feelings, little hurricane. You're still a Strong Cat 2. Bless your heart. For reasons that aren't clear to him, John Weideman, the voice of the Blackhawks, is sitting next to us and not even sure that he wants to be part of this.
I wasn't sure where that was going, but you know what? I was listening and formulating thoughts, and I have got nothing. I'm sorry.
No, you probably do. Sports guys, you've been a great athlete. Your wife is a great athlete. Your son is an athlete. There are probably nicknames all over your place, right? What are the Weidemans? What were the nicknames for the Weidemans?
Just, you know, Sean, Riley, Kelly, me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't believe that. They're out there.
The guys I play hockey with call me Johnny Backhand because I'm very partial to the backhand.
Nice, Johnny Backhand.
That's as far as it goes because I can't skate. Right? So,
you know, that's funny because I love that about the NHL. We are broadcasting from the United Center. If you can't tell by the music in the background, we're at a festival. It's the Training Camp Fest, sponsored by Mathnasium, where they change lives through math. So we're talking hockey on WGN Radio today. And I love it because they'll say, well, this guy's a good skater. That guy's not a great skater. I'm like, are you kidding me? NHL hockey players are the best skaters on the earth. And maybe some of them are better. Some of them are faster than others. But I don't know. Does the ability to, quote, unquote, skate factor heavily into a player's ability on the ice as a player overall?
I think so.
And how would I know one skater who's good from one skater who's not?
Typically, they stand out with their speed and their separation speed. Like if you have two guys skating side by side, let's say two guys, one guy's got the puck, the other guy's in pursuit, and it starts at the defensive blue line, right? Blackhawks blue line.
Yeah.
All right. The guy with a puck has got to skate to the opposition net and try and either get a shot or create. The guy going back with him is trying to defend and make sure that he doesn't get the shot or knock the puck away or whatever. If you see the guy with the puck skate toward the opposition net and the pursuer not seeming to be able to catch up and you see the separation, right, by the time they get to the opposition net, well, you could call that separation speed.
And that's a phrase I've heard, separation speed. But, all right, so I guess that makes you a good quote-unquote skater, but to me it makes you a sprinter. It's like a defensive back who can stay with a wide receiver. He's
right.
got great speed.
Right.
So are fast skaters also fast runners then?
I don't know if it translates. They're different. It's a different muscle group. You know, when you let's say that you're somebody that is fast, like you're somebody that could run a 100-yard dash in 9.3.
Yeah.
Well, if you get on skates, you are your engineer pointing to himself. He must be pretty fast. If you get on skates, you know, your legs can move fast, but it's a different group of muscles that you're employing in order to get the skating motion going. So it may not translate. It may, but it may not. So typically, people that can run fast can skate fast, but it doesn't always follow.
John, what if I'm a guy that can't really skate that fast, and I want to be an impact hockey player? What do I do to make an impact on the ice?
Wow. Are you talking about for the NHL or just in general?
I guess in general.
Okay. What I would do, and this is just me, I've never played in the NHL, and you know, the people that are out there listening right now, yeah, okay, Weideman, let's hear this answer, because you never played. And I didn't. I never played in the NHL, but I do still play recreationally. And from what I can see, you need to always work on your skating. Every chance you get, you work on your skating. Whether you get out there 10 minutes before everybody else gets on the ice, or you stay afterward like I do, and you just bust your behind to become a better skater. You do everything you can think of. Turn right, turn left, go end to end on the ice surface, go blue line to blue line and back so that you have those quick bursts. You work on your skating to the day that you quit playing, in my opinion, because the game is about skating. And if you can't skate, you just can't play.
I'm glad your answer. Well. I'm glad your answer wasn't learn to hit.
No,
because is that how much is that factoring into the game? Is it becoming more physical, less physical, same as it always was?
I think that the hitting and the intimidation that used to be really a major focus in the NHL back in the 70s, in the 80s, and through the 90s, I think it's waning, and it's being replaced by skill, which is good and bad, in my opinion. The old guard guys are going to say, well, no, you need a little bit of that fear factor in there. But you also need to have skill, because the game is now happening at a higher rate of speed than it ever has.
Yeah.
And if you're somebody who, you know, your only skill set is to go out and scare people, well, you're not going to have much of a shelf life in the NHL.
At the Blackhawks convention, I don't think it had yet been stated that Corey Crawford was out because of concussion, but people
right.
understood that. Now, in fact, they're saying that. Do we know the specific hit or shot or game, the incident that caused his concussion?
Or could it be one specific hit? Or could it be something that, you know, wasn't known right away?
Honestly, guys, I think it's an accumulation of events that happened. It may have happened last year. I don't even know what point it would have happened. The thing that what you're seeing now in the NHL, and I think it's a trend that the league has got to address, or the life of goaltenders is not going to be long. You've got to, in my opinion, the league has to empower the referees to go after the players who skate too close to the crease in an effort to try and screen the goaltender. And what happens is many times those guys tie up with defensemen, and they fall into the goaltender. Oh, I fell. Gosh, that defenseman tied me up. I couldn't help it. I fell into your starting goaltender and disabled him now for the rest of the year, so I guess your playoff hopes are done. The league has got to, in my opinion, has got to take steps to empower the referees to nail those guys, maybe even to the point of suspending them for those kinds of actions, because what's happening? The quality of goaltending is going down because of the collisions in the crease with goaltenders. And everybody's pointing the finger at the other side. Well, the defenseman pushed me. Well, I didn't do that. You know, and then it's this big argument. It never gets anywhere.
Look at what baseball's done to protect catchers. Look at what the NBA has done to protect players. They have that circle under the hoop now. And if you are within that circle, you can't take a charge.
Right.
Look at the NFL.
It's protect. We're doing everything to protect players. But you're right. I don't know of anything in the NHL that is equivalent to that right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to try and answer your question, I don't know exactly when Corey was injured. Knowing him the way that I do, I would think he's the kind of a guy that if he was injured, he would say, no, I'm good, I can go, because he wants to help his team to win. But, you know, invariably he had to get out.
I don't mean to bring up another hot-button issue, but a couple weeks ago, Jamal Mayers was on with John, and the aspect of fighting came up, and is there still a role for that in hockey? And I never heard of Mayer's argument that he brought up. There's so much physical activity going on, and you use a stick. You use basically a weapon.
Right.
So the act of fighting allows them to release that anger, release that aggression in a safe, I guess safe isn't the right word.
He was old school about it.
A more even way. But I never thought of it that way. Like, you brought up baseball. It's like, okay, you don't use the bat on the bases. You use the bat to hit the ball. That's it. I mean, you have the weapon, so it's in an effort to avoid using the stick as a weapon. Would you agree with that at all?
I would say that, you know, because the guy you brought up, Jamal Mayers, who I really like, and I'm glad he was with us for the Cup run in 2013. Jamal has always been one of those guys that makes the opposition accountable. So if you were going to, let's say, take a cheap shot at Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews or somebody else in the Blackhawks team, and you knew that Kane or Toews couldn't turn around and beat the snot out of that guy, Jamal Mayers was over on the bench, and he knew his role. He didn't have to be told, okay, Jammer, you need to go out and make things right with that guy. His next shift, he'd go over to the guy and say, hey, you got to leave Kaner and Toews alone, or you're going to have to answer to me. And sometimes that's what happened on the ice. I still think there's room for that in our game, but not to the extent where it becomes like the Broad Street Bullies of the 1970s, because I think that gave the game of hockey a real black eye and set it back 10, 15 years. And I think the game has come a long way since then. I think it's the best it's ever been. And, you know, I'm hoping that this season, this team's going to bounce back and really make a strong finish.
It's 11:20 on WGN. John Weideman's the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Blackhawks on WGN Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Blackhawks training camp, sponsored by Mathnasium, changing lives through math. We need to take a break. Come back with us for just another minute, John. I know that
sure. You
are not inside right now where the players are actually skating. You describe your role here as more political. You're the mayor. You're saying hi to people. Kissing babies. In fact, they're going to do a line next year. It's going to be the baby kissing booth, and John will kiss the baby, pat it on the head, take a picture, something like that.
That could be scary. I could see moms grabbing their infants and saying, "Nah, I'm not going to let her
running
kiss
the other
that
way."
Guy.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Never mind. What I just said, erase that from the tape. It's 11:20. We'll be back in a minute on WGN. Jose Abreu is back in the lineup. Hey, how about that? Jose Abreu is back in the lineup. And he's looking to crush a few at Camden, White Sox Orioles. Hey, Joe Brand, I didn't know Jose Abreu is back in the lineup. White Sox Orioles tonight at 6 on WGN-TV.
Yeah, they're in Baltimore. 3 home runs yesterday, 8 runs, a lot of power surge. And, yeah, Jose Abreu back.
What was he out for?
Forearms?
Was it a lower body or upper body?
It was one of those body injuries,
what
I'm pretty
sure.
What
is it with hockey? And I noticed that now they're going to be a little more specific. But what is it about hockey that they would never say exactly what the injury was? I never felt that gave an advantage to the other team to know if it was a shoulder or abdominal. And as fans who so care about these guys, we just want to know.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to step up here and try and give you an answer. First of all, the term upper body and lower body with regard to injuries was introduced by current New York Islanders president and director of hockey operations, Lou Lamoriello, back when Lou was the general manager of the New Jersey Devils. And Lou is one of those old school guys that says, well, you don't need to know what the injury is. And if I tell you the specifics of this injury, how do I know that one of your players isn't going to go out on the ice on this player's first shift and foul him in the area?
Target that spot.
Right. And then he's out of the game. He's of no use to us. He makes a good point.
Okay,
so,
I get
you know,
that. I
in
get
that,
that
respect, and you have to understand too. Back in that time, there was a little bit of a troglodytic attitude, cavemanish. Troglodytic.
Troglodytic.
As somebody that lives in a cave.
Got it. It's like the Geico guy, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of injuries, it was testicular torsion for Jose Abreu.
Ouch. Hold on a second.
Ouch.
Testicular. Yeah.
I think there's a reason why
we weren't saying what the injury was.
You get your troglodytic testicular whatever going on, and you're in trouble. Anyway, that was really the origin of it. And
all right, so that makes sense then. Well, then that almost makes sense to me now too. Maybe we shouldn't be telling him if it was abdominal or shoulder or knee or whatever like that. To say upper.
Yeah. There were times in the playoffs where they would just release body injury. Right?
Really? Or maybe just fussy. Just didn't really feel
hurt
good today.
Hurt feelings.
Upset. Patrick Kane will not be playing today. He's He's just not into it. It's just not there for him tonight, okay? And then the next game, they won't know exactly if they should go after him psychologically or physically.
Yeah. I have some breaking news, by the way. Lindsey Strope, who has worked with the organization now for a couple years and is just awesome at what she does, she dropped an email to me that said they're going to be a little more specific about injuries this year going forward.
So I hear. Yeah. So I understand that, and I, as a fan, am not discouraged by that, but I understand the logic of both sides. I never knew why they did that way to begin with.
Yeah.
When is your first? When's the first time you're going to be in the broadcast booth? Are we doing some exhibition games on WGN?
Yeah, we've got two on WGN. The first three are going to be on another station, and then the last one will be on another station. But we'll have two on WGN. Those will be the first two home games of the preseason. All three of the road games are going to be on a different station here in town, and then the last home game will be on another station as well.
Well, we have those conflict with either the White Sox or Northwestern, so we bump them onto another station, which is fine. I'm not upset about that. We want the fans to be able to hear the games. And you'll be doing those?
Yep.
All right. Do you want me to help you? Like maybe I could do a period or some of the things?
Would you want to do some play-by-play? You any good at it, kid?
All of us do. All of us do want to do it, but it's very difficult. And, of course, you're the maestro because this game is so fast. The names are so multisyllabic. You've got to know the players. Sometimes you don't see the numbers by their body shape and style.
Yeah.
And you are so fluid, John. It's a pleasure to listen to you broadcast.
I've had the pleasure to sit up with John, and the coolest thing about it is how he stands up for basically the entire game.
I want a video of him.
And sways left and forth. And you mentioned Maestro. That's what he's doing. It's just the rhythm of the game. That's what he does. My first game, they scored. John's doing his signature call. Some of the fans know that he's right behind. He starts high-fiving the fans, calling about a Blackhawks goal. I got the chills. I still get the chills when I bring that up.
Which hand should I have the baton in if I'm going to be a maestro?
Whatever works for you, man. Okay. It's a pleasure.
I think left would be appropriate.
Nice to see you again. My best to your son. I hope he has a good weekend of hockey himself.
Yeah, thank you. Up in Madison. And Sean, if you might be... he's not listening, so... I'll see him later.
All right, buddy. Stay well.
All right, thank you.
John Weideman is your play-by-play voice of the Chicago Blackhawks. WGN Radio News is next. No, you don't, Sandy, but thanks for coming by. Thank you, Domati. This is John Williams, and we are in Lot K at the United Center for the Training Fest, sponsored by Mathnasium. Hi, ladies. So the music is still blaring out here. They've got a stage, and the DJ is cranking it for a crowd of not that many because everybody goes inside right now to watch the Blackhawks skate.
Yeah, it's at least the music has changed, I guess.
We've been getting pummeled by what I'm sure is really swell music, but I don't know that we need it as loud as it's been lately.
I'm with you there, and it's, you know, sometimes you can work around these things when we're maybe positioned the other way, but right now it's just kind of screaming right at us with, who is this, the Cars?
It's a beautiful day, though. The skies are blue.
You know what's so cool is this is like a football atmosphere, but it's hockey.
Yeah,
hey,
I know.
Can you guys keep it down? I can't hear the music, okay? Thank you.
At least we're not singing along, Griff. You know, at least we're not at the concert in the row in front of you, standing and singing with Paul McCartney.
You don't like that?
I have mixed feelings about that. I was at a Paul McCartney concert in a stadium a couple of years ago. You know, McCartney's been doing the rounds, and it's fabulous because people are seeing him for the first time in their lives, and he's not going to be singing forever. And so it's such a thrill to be watching Paul McCartney, whose stage presence, by the way, I don't want to sound like Donald Trump now, but very average. It's fine, but it's not great. It's not great. His stage presence is not good.
He doesn't need it now. You know, it's like...
I mean, are you expecting him to do cartwheels? Or
I could take a nap on stage and people would be
everyone would applaud.
Lined up, you know, for miles.
He's not glib. He's not a natural talker. And you're right. He's Paul McCartney. He could say boo and they go, oh, my God, Paul McCartney's a boo. It's unbelievable. But he's not as natural on a stage as you'd think he would be. Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know. I just think it's funny.
What do you think about everything he's done with Jimmy Fallon? Did you see the recent when he's in the elevator lobby?
Yes.
Do you think that's him being him, or do you
he
think
he seems
that's...
like such a fun guy?
He does.
He's so game to do these silly bits, right? Like he could be, hello, do you know who I am? He is the opposite of that. He seems. All I'm saying is, on stage, a little stiff. He was average. I would give him a 5. I prefer my superstars to be a 7 or a 9.
Yeah, he needs to look into another line of work. This music just not going to hold up.
So I'm at this Paul McCartney concert with people who are for the first time in their lives getting to see Paul McCartney. And he's singing a song, and what do you know? They happen to know the words to it. And I don't know, where are you guys on that? I mean, that person in front of me paid for their ticket too.
I don't think you can argue the fact of people are singing the song for a concert. I think it's all about the camaraderie.
Really?
Everyone knowing the words. Joint effort.
I'll join the Cub Scouts if I want that. If I want to have some camaraderie and sing with some people around a campfire, I will join Scouts.
Well, the concert needs to be loud enough where everyone can sing along, but it's still not going to get in the way.
I mean,
your problem was with the sound. He needed to be louder.
You're telling me he sings Hey Jude, and you're not joining in on that?
Na 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 na. You get to do the na 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 on Hey Jude, but when he goes Hey Jude, if the person next to you goes Don't Let Me Down.
That's not how it goes. First of all, they've got the wrong words.
Whatever. I did not wait a lifetime and pay $98 to hear that. I want Paul.
No, who, I think you're alone on this.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, unless somebody is really egregiously bad and loud and in your ear. But for the most part, I think people always sing along in concerts.
One of my favorite live performances is Tom Petty singing Breakdown. And he gets to the stage and all he says is, "It's all right if you love me." And then he lets the crowd sing the next whole verse. And it just erupts. And he goes, "You guys are going to put me out of a job." And then he goes back to singing it. I still get goosebumps listening to that. I just think
really?
It's so cool.
Really? Because I could get you a stadium to sing Tom Petty without Tom Petty, and that's when that happens, I'm like, really, dude? Come on. I paid $98. I've waited a long time. 98 is a figurative number. It could have been more. But I want to hear you sing the song.
Then listen to him.
All right. I'll bet if we made this a news click, does it bother you and the person in front of you is singing to Paul McCartney? I'll bet more people would say yes than no. What do you think on that?
I think people want to enjoy singing with Paul McCartney.
Most people sing along at concerts.
Okay.
John, I just think that's true.
John, are you the get off my lawn guy?
Very get off my lawn
that's
moment.
That's Ernie. Ernie somehow grabbed a microphone.
You're going to lose this one. I had to jump in. Like, it's
okay.
A concert.
I know I am. You know what I think I'm missing, fellas? Because you can tell I don't go to a lot of concerts, right? It's not that important to me, but I'm more into the music than the experience. Right. You guys are there for that event, and I want to hear Paul McCartney sing. So I should get a CD player, and they have these discs, and you put them in the thing, and the music comes out.
Yeah. Good luck finding one.
And no one's seen magic? Except the person on the CD.
We should have told people that we have more bobbleheads if the music stops.
We have more what?
Bobbleheads if the music stops.
Yeah, no kidding. We are listening to ourselves talk, but also to a rock and roll concert going on just to the right that is louder than we are in our headphones. It's 11:44. One other thing just I wanted to mention about the news today, and that is, have you guys seen the graphics on the Weather Channel for their coverage of Hurricane Florence?
I did see that, yeah.
And yeah. I just saw a headline trail on CNN. It says, the Weather Channel's graphics are blowing our minds. It reminds me of CNN's coverage of the election when they introduced the hologram of the correspondents.
Yeah, but that was dumb, wasn't it?
I'm not sure that what they're doing isn't dumb, too.
Yeah.
Here's what we've learned, and we learned this in many ways, but over and over again, that a storm is really a bunch of weather coming in, and it's almost impossible to demonstrate its impact without looking ridiculous, right? Because if you just saw palm trees or buildings getting banged about, there's no humanity there. So the way to do that then is to get some intrepid weather guy saying, don't go out. It's dangerous here. Literally, the reporter from CBS the other day was Jeff Glore. He was talking, but he had his hand up to shield himself from the debris, like a stop sign could have come and cut his head off. And he didn't even have his rain slicker zipped all the way up. So you could see the soaked T-shirt underneath. And the whole thing just looked kind of ridiculous. What the Weather Channel has done is they put their reporter in studio, and then they go, the tidal surge could be 6 feet. And then around her, they show kind of like Moses, you know, in an old movie where they part the Red Sea. You see the water around her come in and then flow up to the appropriate height. So if they wanted to demonstrate what 6 feet of water look like, you see the water come in around her and then it flow upwards around her like there's an invisible shield and she's in a bubble in an aquarium or something. The graphics are amazing, but you go, really? What did this cost you? We get it. It's 6 feet of water. It's taller than she is. She's not getting wet. I don't know. It just, even that looked ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it is about what you were saying, communicating to people that this is what, trying to give them a better sense of what it's actually like. I suppose it does that. I don't know exactly the value, but when was the last time you talked about the Weather Channel? You know, they're probably happy about that.
When's the last time I watched the Weather Channel?
Yeah.
There we were,
yeah,
you know, clicking around.
Have you seen the video of the weather reporter planting himself and trying to bear all the elements and trying to just support his weight with the wind blowing and the two guys strolling behind him at regular pace?
They so deserve that. That happens every storm.
That's really funny.
There's a person or there's a reporter who's in a boat, right? And it's a tight shot, and they go, we're in a boat. The flooding is so terrible, and you can't tell how deep the water is. And then somebody just walks by.
I forgot about that.
Because
yeah,
it's up to their thighs. And they go, hey, you need a Coke? Because we're going out for some coffees and some sodas. But it looks more dramatic when they're doing that. MSNBC did this the other day. They said the water could be 4 to 6 feet deep. And you went, wow, I wonder what that's like. So then they had a graphic, and it showed dog. 27 inches, Volkswagen Beetle, 52 inches, human man, 72 inches. And they showed these sort of graphic outlines of them like they were in a police lineup. So you could get a sense of how tall things are because you and I don't know how tall a dog is. How would we be able to relate? But now with the graphic, we go, wow, 6 feet of water is taller than a dog. What a helpful thing.
Six rulers standing on top of each other.
That would be
roughly the same height as that.
Go figure.
Although I'll just volunteer this, too.
It's easy to make fun, but if this weather, especially for us in the Midwest, it seems so far away and so foreign, but it's right. So immediate and dangerous to the people that are there. So I understand the predicament, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it may lead people to do things that seem odd. But it's hard for us to know. It's sunny out here. It's hot. I kind of get it. I don't know.
Well, remember recently when Atlanta got hit with snow, and it was something like 1 inch, and the whole town just completely shut down?
Yeah.
And I never realized it's because they don't have salt. They don't have the equipment. They don't have the things to do. And, you know, you look at it, and you think it's hysterical, but then you realize, well, there's a reason why these people are acting that way.
Well, this storm is obviously legit. It's the strongest storm to ever strike the East Coast that far north, yada, yada, yada. So it deserves all the coverage it gets. But it's also an East Coast phenomenon. And I'm telling you, if this hurricane was hitting Oklahoma City, pause and think about that. But, I mean, it would not be getting the coverage it is. But the media is based in the East, and I think that's part of it, too. So there's no amount of money or attention they won't throw at something that happens on the East Coast than happens anywhere else. It is 11:49. Domiti Pongo's in the newsroom. We are at the Blackhawks Training Festival. We're in Lot K. Our broadcast today at the United Center is sponsored by Mathnasium, changing lives through math. This is WGN. I'm at WGNRadio.com/events. Hi, it's John Williams. I'm looking at our website. Have you done this lately? Go to WGNRadio.com/events. It's 11:54. We're wrapping up our broadcast. I just wanted to make a quick reminder that the next chance you'll have to hang with us will be at the Teddy Roosevelt Show at Elgin Community College. They have a theater there called the Blizzard Theater as we continue our broadcast about making weather real for people. This will be at the Blizzard Theater. And The tickets are on our website. We always do, or have for a very long time now, done two shows. This time we're going to do just one show. We sold about 1,100 tickets to the last presidential conversation. We're only going to be able to sell 600 or 700 at this. I say all of that to say, if you are at all interested in seeing America's greatest president, arguably, right after the midterm election, talk about leadership in America in a very funny but frank and intelligent way, then get your tickets now. Go to WGNradio.com/events. It's going to be a terrific show. TR and I on stage talking. This is the thing. When we do our... You haven't seen my Jefferson show, have you?
I have not.
I come on stage, talk to Thomas Jefferson for a little bit. I have to tweeze a conversation out of him. Jefferson didn't like to talk. He was bashful. He was afraid of crowds. So you talk to him, and he's very thoughtful. He's funny, too, but he doesn't always even mean to be. Roosevelt comes on stage, pushes me out of the way. Roosevelt is a man of action. I mean, he literally charged up San Juan Hill. He was an authentic cowboy in North Dakota. He's a tragic figure, too. He lost his mother and his wife on the same day. He lost his sons in the war. He's this amazing story for so many reasons. And yet he was also a great scholar and author. And when he comes on stage, he owns it, right? Griffin, you've seen him on stage with us, right?
I have, yes.
And they don't even need me.
Joe, if you want one of my time seeing it, I could just get. I wish I could transfer this because I've got more. I've got plenty to spare too.
I will trade you a bobblehead for tickets. You know, that's what we should do. We should get Teddy Roosevelt and John Williams bobbleheads to give away at these things.
I mean, they are clearly the most valuable currency in the world.
Here's what we've learned:
people can smell a bobblehead. They walk by, and we don't have any more now. Don't come for us. But they're just like, I sense that there were bobbleheads here at some point in the last 24 hours.
There's an aroma.
Griffin, you just started doing John Mulaney on bobbleheads. Did you sense that?
No. It's the highest compliment you could pay me, though.
It's the highest compliment I could give somebody. I smell bobbleheads. Are there bobbleheads in this vicinity?
I don't think that.
Excuse me, sir, but no. Are there bobbleheads here, or have there been in the recent past?
Even every time we say bobblehead, everyone's ears perk up and just start turning around.
Okay, so the fans are here. The first, what was it, 10,000 or 20,000?
10,000.
Got the, what's the name of this guy?
Alex DeBrinket.
I can't say that. So they're giving out his bobblehead. We then had cases of Jonathan Taves bobbleheads, and we've been giving them out. I mean, we literally had like 28 cases of them, hundreds and hundreds. We gave them all out. People got the word on that, and so they've been gravitating over here. I have one left.
Oh, wow, you lied.
So the last person that just ambles by, I am going to, without them asking, give it to them. And that'll be a beautiful moment. We need to take a break. Hey, Joe, thank you. I know that you've been busy today. You were downtown with Lou. You came out here. Ernie and Griff, thanks for coming by, boys. We'll pause and say hi to Amy back in the studios at WGN. That's coming up next.